Squadcast, a Tag Digital podcast.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello and welcome back to the TAD Digital Squadcast with me, Charlotte, paid social manager. And today I am joined by the whole TAD Digital social team.
Woo!
Jack, Jess, Drew, Cara, Kitty, Beth, Kelsey and Gabby. So we'll get stuck right in and we will start with a little quick fire round to get to know you all a little bit better. So, Jack, Jess, Beth and Kelsey, first question. If you could have one superpower, what would it be, Beth?
Mind reading.
Yes. Interesting. Jess?
I think I would be invisible because there's loads of situations where I'd like to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, I agree. Jack?
I'd go with flight. So I could sort of travel wherever I want, for free.
Yeah, I agree. And Kelsey, if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
I'd probably have healing powers to try and help people.
Oh, that's very nice. Okay, next one. If you could cook a meal for a dinner party, what would it be, Jess?
I make a really good cauliflower curry, so maybe that.
Very nice. Beth?
I'm more of a dessert person, so I could make a good chocolate cake for afterwards.
Nice, I like that. Kelsey?
My go-to is like a sautéed potatoes side dish. It's got like breadcrumbs on the top. Really nice.
We're making a full three-course meal here. And Jack, what would your meal of choice be?
I feel people are going to judge me for this, but something boozy, like a tray bake with just crowd pleaser every time.
Nice, simple but effective.
Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast.
Amazing. So moving on from the platform innovations and what's working well, now tell me all about future predictions on the platforms. So starting off with Meta, what are we all predicting for the platform?
So one future prediction we definitely know is coming to the Meta platform, hopefully, well, within the next few years, maybe not so hopefully, but is conversion API. We think through whispers that this will definitely become mandatory moving forward. So conversion API is essentially when we send web events through a server directly to Facebook, and the entire process is achieved without the reliance of browser-based tools, including cookies. So what does it do? It's designed to create a direct connection between your data and Meta, and it is set up to combat Facebook's cookieless tracking. So it allows us to share data directly from the business server as opposed to doing it through the browser, and the data within the API will be transferred directly to Facebook and handled in a similar way to the way that the pixel events are handled at the moment. A user will choose to opt in via a website consent, and then their information will be passed through Facebook into the API. One interesting thing is if the user does opt out of it, a new event is then fired and that information is collected and the audience is removed, so they won't be tracked within this API. There's a few benefits of setting up tracking this way. I think the three most important is the first is to help improve connectivity. So that means that there will be less data impacted by any pixel errors or ad blockers. Another benefit will be improved measurement, so it will help us get better ad performance and attribution across the customer journey from the discovery to purchase phase. So that means that we'll be able to ultimately better understand how digital impacts our results. And then the last one is it will reduce our CPA through event matching. So through the Meta technologies, our ads are most likely to be delivered to people who will resonate best with the ad and most likely to take the action, and that will help us generate value for our clients.
Wow, so this sounds like quite a big change across Meta that we're going to have to get on board with, but all positive outcomes on the other end. Is this something that we need to be telling the clients? Can they set it up themselves, or is it something that we need to be doing for them?
Yeah, I definitely think it's something that we should be telling the clients, but we are kind of in a testing phase at Tag Digital at the moment. We're rolling it out on a couple of clients and see how we're getting on. And the server that we've chosen to use is Google Analytics. What we need to do is the client already needs to have existing client-side container through GA, and then we can create the server-side container. I think there's what we will be best doing is once we have done the testing through a couple of clients, we'll be able to see the price that we will pay, and then we can maybe sort of touch base as a team and decide what's next to help with the setup for the clients.
Yeah, we're basically trying to make it sort of as smooth a transition as possible, which is why linking it into analytics is best, because it means that if you've already got your GA4 set up, it should be, in theory, a seamless transition to Conversions API.
Yeah, in theory.
The platform does say that it only takes an hour to set up as well. It has taken me a little bit longer, but I think that's maybe just my first try.
You'll be getting it done in 10 minutes before you know it. And do we have any idea of when this is going to come into place?
So when I've been speaking to sort of Meta marketing experts, they've been telling me lots of different things. I did hear that it was supposed to be February this year, and that obviously hasn't been the case. I think what they'll do is they'll warn us before it does become mandatory, like they did with the iOS 14 update. So they'll give businesses a couple of months to really hone in, get Conversion API set up, and then there will be a date where we will no longer be able to track through the Meta Pixel, which I think is obviously coming, like we know, with the sort of knock-on effects of a cookieless future.
Yeah, definitely. Great. So, yeah, it's something we all kind of need to get on board with and be communicating with those, with their clients. And once this is set up, do you think we will have less dispute in results in our campaign? I know a lot of my clients see different numbers to what I see. Is this going to try help combat that, do you think?
I think it's difficult to predict. What it says from Facebook or what sort of Meta are telling us at the moment is we should see improved efficiency and lower CPAs, but it's really hard to know that when all of our tracking at the moment is through the Meta Pixel.
Yeah.
I think ultimately those conflicts come from, it's just different attribution windows more than anything else. Mm-hmm. The big benefit of Conversions API is, especially sort of since post iOS 14, when we lost a load of data from sort of the people opting out of tracking that way, it's, as we go into this sort of cookieless future, we've got another cliff edge that we're going to go off, and Conversions API is just their way of combating it. The best way to sort of think about it is it's a bit like GA4. It's going to be sort of a cliff edge that we all go off, and if you've not got it set up before we go off that cliff edge, you're going to be at a disadvantage. So the sooner you can sort of move your sort of ad accounts towards a Conversions API setup, the better, really.
Great, amazing. Well, that's something very exciting for us to all look forward to going forward. Back to future predictions, is there anything else in the horizon that we're predicting on Meta?
Yes. In terms of future predictions, I'm here to discuss the introduction of AI Creative. I know I've been on the podcast a few times to discuss Tag Digital's AI Creative service, which is a kind of unique service to our agency where we deliver AI generative creative banners, both with and without kind of surplus text to really serve at that new data level. However, in terms of kind of on platform, we're seeing various kind of optimizations and new features being rolled out across Meta. One that I think everyone will immediately know is the kind of Advantage Plus system of optimizing. And when you turn this on and enable it, Meta likes to say that it'll improve your click-through rates by around 3%. That is, that you can take that with a grain of salt, but I have found that this helps campaigns more than it harms it. And what that does is it kind of enables a bunch of various optimizations to be made to your creatives. For example, it can decide if it wants to flop around your kind of headline and your main body text, and chop and change that to tailor it. It says a quote, tailor it to each user. It can also like add music to your ads. It can increase the brightness on your photos, etc. And this is all done automatically. There's no input from us on what these changes exactly are. Other than that, if we want one particular feature removed, like say you don't want music added, you can turn that feature off. But these are all things that are done automatically. This has been quite polarizing, I found, among some clients. But overall, it does help the campaigns more than it hinders it, from what I found.
Yeah, I agree. I've witnessed similar disputes from our clients on that feature. But do you think that's going to get more, like develop more in the future? Or do you think they're going to stay away from giving us a little bit of the reins back in that sort of Advantage Plus creative feature?
Well, I imagine there was a point where this was automatically turned on and you had to specifically find it, turn it off. So I would imagine it's only going in that direction. But
yeah.
And even with other features, like now sometimes Meta suggests text to you, though at this point it's primarily text you've used in previous campaigns within the ad account. But these kind of AI generative features in particular with creative are only going to increase, in my opinion. And that's why we've kind of tried to pioneer the generative AI creative service, to kind of take some of the reins into our hands in terms of harnessing the power of these generative images, just because we have found that like our engagement, especially at a new data level where users aren't aware of what you're doing and you're trying to kind of reel them in with a hook, we found that to be quite successful in terms of providing that hook of being visually interesting, of distinctly being distinct and attention grabbing rather.
Cool. And do you think, I know you mentioned our AI creative service, do you think Meta as a platform will introduce something similar on platform going forward?
It's entirely possible. I think for the moment they're more focused on those kind of little optimizations, though I know that with various platforms like Google introducing Bard, I could definitely see a future where Meta has their own kind of generative tool like this that you could implement within Meta ads.
I think they've even started teasing it lately, actually, which is quite exciting. It's not something you're going to see in ad accounts for a little while, but it's coming.
Yeah, it's in the works. They'll need to do something similar to stay on top. So yeah, we will look out that maybe years to come. Cool. Anything else you're predicting for Meta?
I guess sort of linking on to that AI topic is the sort of elimination of targeting that Drew touched upon and sort of jested as well with the Conversions API side of things. So essentially what's going to happen is we're seeing sort of already interest demographics start to strip out of the platform, and that's going to happen more and more because they have so many signals from people that you can't prescribe to. So it might be that someone's friend has engaged with a, let's say, construction website, and they know that, and it turns out that person works with that person. And Meta can tell all of this by your sort of location, all sorts of different signals that we can't necessarily prescribe within saying we want someone in the construction industry. So it's going to use those signals to start driving conversion in a different way. So how that looks, essentially broad targeting. So it's understanding where your audience is, how old they are, and sort of that's where you're going to have to prioritize things going forward. So rather than sort of targeting the whole globe, for example, is an extreme example, you're going to have to really look at where people are going to travel to your event, and that's where your focus is going to come from. The other sort of element of that is going to be your creative, which is sort of links again nicely into the AI stuff, is it's creative is going to become the absolute king when it comes to social ads going forward. It's almost sort of stripping it back to sort of the Mad Men days of like proper advertising, where you've got to really think through your creative and think about who you want that creative to be targeted towards.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, Drew.
Yeah, and what you were mentioning, Jack, in terms of kind of geo-targeting, it links quite nicely into some other tests that I know a couple of us have been running, and our best practice in terms of, say if we have an event targeting that's based in Europe and the client wants to target Europe just broadly, It's always best practice there to recommend just like a set of countries rather than just Europe, kind of hone down that that audience to where the money is going to be best spent. And that's going to be, like you said, very important once these kind of more once this kind of more broad targeting becomes the standard.
Yeah, I think as well, from a client side, I think the loss of control might be quite daunting for them initially. They're used to giving us particular interests or particular behaviours that they know resonate well with their audience, and that is, they do that to make sure that they can ensure the quality. But because we need to train them and basically say that the platform has all your data from all your campaigns that you've ran previously, and is really, really clever with the machine learning. It's learning about your audiences all the time. So it should mean that the audiences, although broad, if we've narrowed it down by age, if we've narrowed it down by specific locations, it should be directly relevant to the people who should be signing up to the event. But kind of explaining that in a way to make sure that, like, reassure them that the quality of the conversions that we bring them hopefully shouldn't decrease, and that's just the way that the platform is going and the way that ads paid ads are going in the future as well, and just kind of assuring them that it's a good test to try. It might work, it might not, but it's something that we should definitely be pushing and seeing what, like.
Yeah, I think it links right way back around to sort of conversions API. It's going to be all about the quality of the data you're feeding the platform. You absolutely can't do broad targeting if you haven't got a good sort of back end that's feeding in good quality conversion. If your conversion isn't correct, or you haven't got extra data points there, or it's not feeding through conversions API, it's going to be weaker, and ultimately that's going to affect the performance of your campaigns.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely something we need to start trialing and testing, and yeah, prove to our clients that this is the way forward. Amazing. I'm sure we could speak about Meta future predictions for days, but thank you so much for those. Lots of things to look forward to in the future.
Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast.
Cool. So now we've spoken about our Meta future predictions, moving on to LinkedIn. And what are our LinkedIn future predictions?
Yeah, so a lot of the predictions that we spoke about were just part of the UX and like the LinkedIn interface, kind of the updates that are happening there. So we've seen the kind of platform move a little bit more towards the way that Meta's kind of structured. So we've seen features like campaign budget optimization kind of trialed across some of the ad accounts. And we've also seen where the objectives now being set at campaign group level and not campaign level. So yeah, like just the whole platform is kind of shifting a little bit. It is a little bit slower and a little bit behind some of the other social platforms. So it's kind of good to see LinkedIn catching up a little bit in terms of the changes and what's being done there.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're already starting to see, like you said, some similarities to Meta coming through with our campaign budget optimization and campaign structure, creatives, things like that. So yeah, it'd be really cool to see what they come up with next. I think they're always trying and testing and releasing things in beta. So yeah, I know I saw something recently on A/B testing. Do you think this is something that they're gonna roll out in the near future? Do you think it'll be useful to use in our campaigns?
I swear A/B test function on LinkedIn is something I've seen like cropping up and being spoken about a lot over the past year. I've yet to see it in beta on any of our ad accounts. It would be good to see how they kind of introduce this feature on the platform and see how it differs to the likes of Meta, and how we could test it. We obviously do run unofficial A/B tests on the platform, but it would kind of be good to have this to test and to see how it differs from the test that we're currently running.
I think it's interesting as well that LinkedIn have decided to roll out a direct A/B test function, because like Cara said, this is something that is available or something that we already do within our ads. So for example, we have different creative that we test against each other, we have different versions of copy that we test against each other, we make one small change and then we try and see what works best and what resonates well with the user. And when we're running A/B tests across Meta, we traditionally now, as a sort of social team at Tag Digital, are moving toward moving away from the traditional A-B test function, just because there's so much more functionality to do it when we build our ads, and we can let our clients know that although we're not using that specific tool, we're doing it across all of our campaigns, and it's just letting them know that we've done this and this is what's working and this is what's not, and then that helps form our optimizations as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry. It's a really interesting move basically with LinkedIn, because yeah, like Jess said, we're sort of pulling away from it on Meta because that's what Meta are doing. So for them to sort of bring it back in on LinkedIn's a really interesting one, because all of these decisions are made based on what they're seeing people doing in platform. Like Jess said, we run A-B tests all the time on LinkedIn, so it's clearly something they're seeing a lot of advertisers do, and they're reacting to that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost seems a little bit counterproductive at this stage in the game.
Yeah, it seems quite late in the game to kind of introduce an A-B test feature, especially like Jack said, when platforms like Meta are kind of moving away from it ever so slightly.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can see if it does ever actually crop up on the platform.
Definitely. Cool. Is there any other future predictions on LinkedIn that you...
Yeah, one thing that we speak about a lot in the social team is just let us duplicate ads and let us bulk edit ads. This would be kind of something that we've spoke about as like a wish list, but fingers crossed it's gonna happen.
Definitely. I know I spend way too much time editing and duplicating ads on LinkedIn. Facebook definitely have the upper hand on that one this far. So yeah, I'm on board with that one. As soon as we get that multi-edit feature, I'll be never leaving LinkedIn.
I think one other thing that we would really benefit from across LinkedIn is being able to have multiple creative ad types in the one campaign. I know that LinkedIn don't allow this at the moment, I think because they want us to spend more money on the platform and up our daily spends, but it just means that if a client comes with us with the minimum budget that we would recommend across this channel, which would be about 2K, then we kind of have to choose one creative ad type and test it, and then once we are pausing things and seeing what's working, seeing what's not, we can then add in the additional ad type. But as standard, we would probably always recommend to do single image ads. They give us the highest CTR and the best conversion rate. Although we're seeing sometimes video outperform that, video, I think at this stage, can be a bit of a hit or miss across the platform, but I still think it is really beneficial. And what LinkedIn recommend is to have lots of different creative types running in tandem to be able to give your as much awareness as possible, and also see what the user will respond to in terms of converting.
Yeah, definitely. I know that's something I struggle with some of my clients, is budget to be able to test different creative types. And I would always recommend single images. So getting a feature where you can include videos in the same campaign would be really beneficial. Cool. I know previously we mentioned the predictive audiences and the percentage sizes and things. Having this in lookalikes like Meta would be really, really helpful. Do you think that's going to be something coming soon?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's here already. I've seen it across a few of my ad accounts, and it's probably just one of the ways that LinkedIn is sort of adapting their AI and being able to use that machine learning to essentially predict an audience that's relevant for us. There is some other sort of AI generative ad formats being rolled out across the platform at the moment. We've got the in-stream video ads, the new conversation starter ads, and then there's also thought leadership ads. They are a bit less relevant to what we're running, but for example, the conversation ads allow us to set up multiple CTAs in order to be able to collect leads. So essentially the platform is helping us predict loads of different conversation types that might happen within one conversation that a user might have with it's essentially a chatbot, but we predict the conversation. So that is just one way that they're doing it as well. They are also sort of rolling out and starting to test AI copy suggestions. So that's basically suggesting headlines and copies based on the LinkedIn company page that we have and use to set up the ads with the clients. So we can select up to five options and make edits on the suggestions. from LinkedIn News, this is only in beta in North America at the moment. So this is not something that we have access to, but I think watch this space. I can see them rolling out that in the future and trying to help us along with making ad copy and making the whole campaign setup process quicker.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. Would save a lot of time and, yeah, makes great use of their profile and ad account combination, which would be, yeah, really good to see. Very interesting. Anything else we predict on LinkedIn moving forward?
I guess this sort of point wraps it all up into one, really, is this sort of move towards B2C customers. So the reason why we're seeing a lot of tools become a little bit more like Meta is because more advertisers on Meta are B2C, and LinkedIn has sort of a key USP in that it's the only platform left where people are willingly sort of feeding it data. When you look at sort of the Meta platforms, everyone's going towards what people call dark social. It sounds really scary, but it literally just means they're more passive, they're not posting as much, mm-hmm. they're more browsing the platform. Whereas LinkedIn, you're seeing people posting, you're seeing them feeding all kinds of data. It knows where you're working, where you live, and you're happily handing that over. Whereas we're not as likely to do that on Instagram or Facebook and things like that. So B2C advertisers are realizing this, so they're moving across the platform to try and bring in people. So for example, if you had a student campaign to run, you're not going to be able to target that person specifically on Instagram for students. Yes, you could sort of roughly get some bits that would get it towards a student, like age and things like that, but on LinkedIn you could go straight to a student and put that ad in front of them and guarantee that's what it is. So it's a really, really powerful offering, and we're going to see more B2C advertisers realize that.
Yeah, definitely. I've also seen I know LinkedIn previously was a solely business focused platform. I've seen a lot of more like personal posts and things like that on LinkedIn recently, which again link into that B2C area as well. So yeah, definitely. I think it's something everyone, no matter what their advertising should be, kind of definitely considering LinkedIn as a platform. Amazing. Loads of things there on LinkedIn as well, and I'm sure we will see so much more coming from them in the near future, which I'm very excited to get stuck into.
Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast.
Amazing. Thank you so much, everyone from Tag Digital's social team, for joining me on the podcast of Meta and LinkedIn innovations, what's working well, and future predictions.
Great, thanks. And just want to shout out Charlotte as well. Thanks so much for hosting. You've been a fab host, and we look forward to doing maybe part two in the future.
Can we clap? I think we can clap.
Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast.